and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So many truths that we sang about this morning, that what's true about you, Lord, we just receive that and we believe that this morning for ourselves and for our own lives. Lord, I pray this morning, if there are ones here that don't believe yet, we ask you, God, that you would reveal yourself today through the song, through the prayers, through the reading of your word, through the sharing of your word, through the baptism time, through the testimonies, Lord. Show them, oh God. Gather your fold in, Lord. So we thank you for our time. Thank you for the precious time that we have to gather ourselves together in this way. We thank you, Lord, for our able bodies, from the oldest to the youngest this morning, to be here this morning. We receive it as a gift of life from you. We ask you for your blessing. May your Holy Spirit lead, God, and direct our time here, our gathering here, Father, all for your honor and glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Welcome to all of you this morning. It's good to have you here. I'm excited for what we have this morning, and I don't want to take all the time here, so I'm going to move along rather quickly and try to bring out the best that I can what's on my heart. I feel like my notes are a little long this morning, so pray for me that we can go through here. But my three main points this morning are to arrive, what we sang about, to arrive there, the Bible says we have to be born again. We must be born again, it says in the Word of God. And the second point is, as we look at the subject or the thing of baptism, there's one thing where we become born again and we decide we're going to receive Jesus by faith and believe on him. But then there's a whole other thing of making him Lord. And that's where our lifestyle, our life, depends heavily on the choices we make. Are we going to follow him? Now that God saved us, are we going to follow him? And then you seal that with the water baptism. We are looking at one of the mile markers this morning in life. I love, you know, when you travel, there's mile markers. There's areas that you, certain roads that you go on that have these markers to tell you where you are. And one of those mile markers this morning is the water baptism. And I'm just so blessed, Jonathan and Caleb, with your commitment to go through this today. It does not make sense to do it right now. It's too cold, right? But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit overrides that. It can be as cold as it wants to be, and still the desire that God puts within man to follow him overrides cold weather or the conditions or the elements, whatever. And somehow, God does a work in the hearts of men to bring glory to himself. So it does make sense. The desire for baptism happens when there's an inward cleansing. We're not starting where we... these young men didn't just get born again. There was already an inward cleansing that happened that made this possible. And they're just sealing that. They're confirming that today. And so there's an inward cleansing that already happened. And they're recognizing that they're identifying themselves with Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, exactly what we sang about this morning, and making a decision to be identified as a Christian. Amen. As a Christian. So my goal here this morning is, and hope is, that we understand the importance of these three. Back in Genesis, we see the fall. The main question back there was, hath God said? And I find myself there sometimes where you realize that, is there some, did God really mean that? Does that matter? Does this matter or that matter? And I tell you, if we don't become familiar with the Word of God, we will very soon dismiss it and say, I don't think it matters. God would understand. But if it says it in here, we are unfamiliar with the Word. So my encouragement this morning is that we become familiar with the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, it will become a part of us and our lifestyle will align with this Word. And therefore, it will make sense. We will understand what God is saying. We will never question what God is asking us to do. And I'm on a journey with you. But we ask that question, hath God said? And that's what Eve asked, hath God said? It's a good question, right? But it was a temptation, and she yielded to that. So then we go on down through. I'm not going to spend much time on that, but we come to John the Baptist, where he preached about repenting and paving the path for Jesus to come and give his life for us. And he was crying in the wilderness. He was crying in the wilderness for the souls of men. And today, yet, we are crying in this wilderness. There's clarity here because we have his word, but we are still in a wilderness. We're not home yet, church. And we are still crying in the wilderness. But I tell you, the path that he taught us is the path that we want to walk. So we repent for sin and believe in God by faith and be baptized. And again, we are not left alone without hope. There's repentance. Repentance, I wrote this down, is to change your mind about sin, God, and self. I was so blessed last weekend with Marlon and Darla's testimony where there was a recognition of sin or a realization that I'm a sinner. I am in sin, and I need to repent before God. And so repenting for sin and believing in God. Turn with me to John 3. We're going to spend a little bit of time there and then go on to Ephesians 1 as we look at the subject of being born again. Let's just jump down to, this was a story of Nicodemus. Don't know if I'm going to, let's just jump in on verse 3. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. He asked the question. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles but thou doest, that thou doest, except God be with him. He realized something was different about that. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And here it gives an illustration of how it happens. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes from, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How does that make sense? We can't see what happened. We cannot see what happened, but we can't see what's happening, but we can see what happened. Did I say that right? We can see the results of the Holy Spirit work in our lives. I can see the results of the Holy Spirit in your life because of the shine on your face, Stephen. I can see, I can tell what happened. I can tell something is happening. I can tell in my children when they're burdened with something. You can tell what is taking place. So here he's saying, when you become born again, you can't see what is happening. You can't see the Spirit move inside a person's heart. And so that's very clear to us, very defined to us, that I cannot do this for you. I can encourage you this morning, but oh, how I wish I could, but I can't. The Holy Spirit has to do that work deep in your hearts, deep in each of our hearts. And again, we're talking about being born again. We're talking about coming to Christ and believing in him, not just because my neighbor, I heard about him, not just because I heard about this at church. That's not good enough. It says you must be born again. there has to be an exchange. There has to be a new life coming into your heart. There has to be a realization, a peace, and a confidence and assurance that I'm born again. And if you're here this morning and you're hearing what I'm saying is, don't condemn yourself if you're not born again. I love when people, when I go up to them, and I can truly ask them, I can ask, are you born again? Because the Bible says that we should be, right? So it's a good question. It's not meant to be offensive. It's meant we're to walk in love in that. And when they answer me and say, and I've had this happen just recently, when they say, I don't know if I am. Well, praise the Lord. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about being born again. Because I know God can save you. Do we have that confidence, Mel? We have that confidence. I can say to you this morning, I know that God can save you. But let's talk about it. Let's look at his word. Let's pray. Let's talk about this. We must be born again. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man ascended up from heaven that he came down from heaven, but he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's a whole story behind that. I wish we would have time to go into that. In the Old Testament, where there was a serpent lifted up, and if you could make your way to see that serpent, you were healed. I thought of that this morning when we were singing. If Jesus is the head here this morning, everyone here is going to receive a spiritual blessing. If Jesus is the head of our worship, the head of everything that we discuss and see this morning, everyone here is going to receive a spiritual blessing. From the youngest child to the oldest. Because when Jesus is the head, it brings life and life forevermore. And so when you look upon him, Jesus is saying this. Basically, he's saying, when you look on me, he says in 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then he goes into a familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. Then he says, this is Jesus talking, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's telling Nicodemus this. And Nicodemus is not, he wants to believe it. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Just what I said. But he that believeth is not condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Jesus is the light, right? Lest his deeds should be reproved. And he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Boy, this is encouraging. He that doeth truth, that word, E-T-H. See the E-T-H after doeth. He that doeth truth, he that does it over and over, practices to follow the word of God. This is how you get there. That his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. God will stamp those in our heart. He will stamp those in our heart. He's the ironsmith. He uses heat, and he tempers us, and he shapes and molds us. So may God help us to come to him. And then when we realize, when we're in sin, after we've given our life to God, when we realize we're in sin, it is an instant, the Holy Spirit can convict us. I had a person ask me here last week, If I believe in once saved, always saved, basically eternal security, I said I do if my heart is right. This was a customer of ours, and she said, well, she marvels at how many people, as soon as they stumble, they think they've lost their salvation. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to repent. The Bible says to repent and come back to Him, and He'll redeem us. If He tells us to forgive 70 times 7, surely He can redeem us when we repent to Him. Now, after life and after death, that's up to God. Those are things we don't understand and don't fully know yet, what happens after life. What I'm saying is, we can believe God, we can know that we have eternal life, it says in 1 John 5. We can know, we can be assured, it can be in here, there can be a confidence, but we must put our faith in God first. We have to give our life to Jesus Christ and become born again, and then He puts that faith within us, and we can walk with Him in a joyful way. Moving on into the calling, the Lord just calling us to make Him Lord of our life after we're born again. You know, I was thinking of this message, and I thought to myself, you know, Judas had a decision. Judas was one of the men that walked with Jesus. And he had a decision to make whether he was going to walk with Jesus, and somehow, somewhere, he was not fully surrendered. He did not give his whole heart to Jesus Christ. And we see the results of that. It is just such a good warning for us that when you don't make Jesus your Lord, you are very apt to go astray. And what does that mean? What does that mean to make Jesus Lord? I'd like to expound on that a little bit. So Judas walked with Christ, and he knew who he was. Clearly, he knew who he was. Christ had called him out, and he knew who Jesus was. But he did not know Him. He did not know Jesus like Christ is asking us to know Him. And that's my challenge this morning to us, is we know who He is, but let's know Him. Let's come to Him. Let's truly know Him and serve Him and give up that old life. Give up those things that hinder us from getting to know Him and keeping us from Him. Those idols in our life. Let God refine us. Let Him take us apart. Let Him take us apart and give us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of steel. So as we're looking at the subject of baptism, I want to just say this to the ones that are being baptized. There's a certain something. I don't know what it is, but I hear this from people over and over again that in the last 3 years, maybe 4 years, I became aware of it. Their testimonies coming back of walking through baptism. And I'm not sharing this to say, to discourage baptism. I'm actually encouraging it. And at the same time, as you're thinking about baptism, prepare your hearts. But it's the thing of when you commit to this and you actually follow through it, there's been some that have told me, I wasn't prepared for what was coming. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? I wasn't prepared for the tests that were coming. I wasn't prepared for the refining that was coming. I wasn't prepared for God putting His finger on something. In His mercy and love is why He does this. You're a child of God. You will know when the enemy is tormenting you, and you will learn when God is putting His finger on something. When God puts His finger on something, He is always there to help you. But some of us break in discouragement and we go back to type. We go back to what we thought was comfortable. And we get discouraged because we have no fight in us. Or we're not trusting God. And so I gathered that some of these people are coming and they're asking, how do I walk through this? In fact, one of them was our own children. Not prepared for the battle, not prepared for the tests, for the refining. So my encouragement is, as you think about baptism, draw close to God. Make him Lord. These young men are only confirming today what's already in place. But they're declaring publicly, this is where we are. And so, know the battle. It's wise to know the battle. Luke 6, 46 to 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show to whom he is like. 48 says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what we're talking about. If we go deep and we ground ourselves in Christ, we don't only know who he is, we know him. We know Jesus. Then we're grounded on the rock and we can fight the good fight of faith that Paul talks about. He that heareth and doeth is like a man. Did I read that? I think I did read that. Acts 26, 17 and 18. Here's where Paul was traveling. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Who's talking here? And I said, who art thou, Lord? Paul's asking the question. And he said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's what he said. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast not seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He stopped him in his tracks. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. So these verses are just a true, great example, a true essence of a message to the disciple of Christ. Wow. In the New Testament, you know, you see God's first sovereign work there, and he just sums it all up in part of that verse where he says, for the forgiveness of sins. So when a person fails in his personal life, it's usually because he didn't receive. Maybe he didn't receive. You can see fruit. You can see fruit in a person's life when they're truly born again. You see that fruit, what we talked about just earlier. But it's our job as workers of God to open their eyes according to the verse that we just read. From darkness to light. Salvation. From salvation. So only we can talk. I want to draw something out of these couple of verses here. We can talk to them. We can talk to them. But that is only, you could say, a conversion. I don't know that I even like to use the word converted. It says we must be born again. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm saying when you hear something and you believe that, instead of believing on him, I question sometimes, is maybe why that? Maybe that's why there are so many struggles. But when we become born again, I can assure you, you will know the difference. You will know when it happened. Struggle through that. I encourage you to struggle through that. I struggled through that. My wife struggled through that more than I did. It takes persistence to believe God. But when it happens, you will know. You will see something on your trail that says, I struggled with that at once. I don't struggle with it anymore. I met Jesus. I know that something changed in here because I feel different. My thinking is different. My desires, like Sim said the other night in Bible study, the desires that he had, all of a sudden, he wasn't tempted with those desires anymore. It was instant. Some of those things happened. Some of those things happened for me. The desires that I had became instantly something that I didn't desire anymore. But then there was other things that the Lord started putting his finger on. Things, the motives in my hearts, the attitudes, didn't mean that I wasn't born again. It meant his love was starting to come into my heart and changing me. Don't get discouraged when God turns the heat up. He loves you. He wants to encourage you to walk on this journey. Be patient with that heat. Look up to him. Read his word. Talk to him. Know him. He'll set you free. Amen? When a person is born again, he knows it because he has received something as a gift from Almighty God. And it's not because of my own decision. Yes, I made a choice to follow God, but I also made a decision to trust him. And through that, he reached in there to a heart of stone, a heart of flesh, a heart of steel, and just turned it to flesh. He renews our mind daily. Praise the Lord. So be careful as you make vows and promises. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Instead of just getting determined and say, I'm going to change this. This can't be a part of my life. And you grit your teeth and you say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Instead of just saying, I'm a sinner, Lord. Save me. Save me. Make him Lord of your life. Make him Lord. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The law is written in my heart. You know, if after a while, and I'm not that far down the road, I still look up to people like the older men here in the church have been walking with Jesus for years and still excited, still believing God, still looking forward to going home. That is so intriguing. So I'm not that far down the road. Maybe 20-something years, 2004, I was born again. And still today, I delight to do thy will, O God. I don't always, but I delight to do thy will, O God. The law is written in our hearts, so living for him becomes a joy. It's not a chore anymore. It's not something that I think is hard. Yes, it's a narrow road. It's a tight squeeze sometimes. Because sometimes what we'd like to do, the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not a part of me. That won't bring you life. That doesn't line up with an eternal perspective. And I like having fun. I love doing things. But there is sometimes where the things that I do are for the wrong reason. And I can tell when the Holy Spirit says, no, not this time. It doesn't always make sense. But let's follow him. Let's live for him. And then it won't be a sacrifice, right? Living for Jesus is not a sacrifice. It is a joy. You have to give that old life up. That you have to sacrifice and give to God and turn away from. But God will give you a new desire and a new law. Going on to the third point here, water baptism, my encouragement here. I don't know if I want to read all of this in Romans 6. Maybe we'll just glance through it. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. We sang about that resurrection it talks about in verse 5. And when you know there's a force against you, be reminded that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, breathed upon Jesus in that tomb, and he became alive again for us today. There was a resurrection power. No matter where you are today, you can be restored. God can restore you. In the spiritual, God can restore you. Isn't that so encouraging this morning? We can be thinking, I don't measure up. And most times what we do is compare ourselves among ourselves. We know what we see, and then we align ourselves just under that or just over that, whichever way you want. My encouragement this morning is, if we don't make Jesus the head, let's make Jesus the head, rather. That's my encouragement. Let's make Jesus the head of our life, the head of all our decisions. So when the enemy comes to distract you, you can stand against him. Like it says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. And then Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Separate yourselves unto God. So how do we fight? Do we just push back? Do we just grit our teeth? I'm encouraged as we pray here at the church how prayers get answered. Let's consider praying to fight instead of fighting and trying to gain strength to do something. Adorn ourselves with Christ. And it's the Satan doesn't have any mercy. Like he doesn't care what for church you're with this morning, what for denomination you're with. He plans to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And when you give him a foothold, if you don't make Jesus your Lord, he has that foothold into your life. And I've seen that many, many times. So let's make Jesus Lord of our decisions and of our life. I am encouraged this morning that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives to speak to us. And by faith, we're stepping into that baptism. And the Holy Spirit brings that into our lives and talks to us, and we read his word, and it becomes real to us. So I'm very thankful this morning that we have the Holy Spirit. I just marvel at the way he moves in your lives and talks to you and gives you direction. It's so comforting to me, to us, together, that we can pray for someone and we can ask God for his Holy Spirit to move in each of our lives and to give us direction. Now, sometimes God will use the Holy Spirit for us to minister to each other. And I think we should position ourselves there. But isn't it beautiful that the Holy Spirit sometimes ministers when we just pray? Not just when we pray. When we pray, the Holy Spirit can minister to the lives of the people that you're burdened for. And this morning, I'm sure your parents were praying for this. But they were there enough to guide you. But ultimately, it took the Holy Spirit to say, Jonathan and Caleb, I want you to take another step. One more step. And then I want to draw you to myself and teach you lots of things. So they were just there. And I'm sure if we would get them to testify this morning, they would give credit to the Holy Spirit and say, that was God that spoke to you. Even though they were used by God to create that environment for you to grow and to be able to realize that. Beautiful picture of the home and how we can walk with each other. Just a couple verses here. The other thing that I wanted to mention is we don't need a dark past to have a true born-again experience. It doesn't take that. I'm a bit envious of you, Jonathan and Caleb. And I'm thankful that God draws the same way. It doesn't take a dark past like I had to have a testimony. Rather, your testimony is more significant than mine, because there are some things that I'm really ashamed of, that when I was your age, I wasn't ready. I wasn't born again. I would have went to hell if God would have came back for his church. That I'm sure of. Because I told my mom there at times, I said, I don't even believe in a God anymore. How do you know there is? And it was out of the stupidity of my heart, the foolishness. I was just trying to justify where I was walking. And you may find that hard to believe, but that's where a heart can go. That's how far a heart can go. And when I was baptized, I wasn't born again. I didn't know Jesus. I knew who he was. I knew he was God's son, but I didn't know Christ. And so I went through baptism, went through marriage, all these mile markers, these beautiful mile markers, without giving my life to Christ first. And I missed so much. But you know, looking back, when God saved me, he started to restore all those things. And he started refining me. And I will say this. We reap what we sow. I had to reap what I sowed. So it was hard. That's where I'm a bit envious of you this morning, if that's the right term. So may God bless you as you continue to live for him and trust him with your lives. I just want to give you a couple verses here. 1 Peter 3:21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's not by our works of righteousness, like it says in Titus 3, but it's according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And here's the verse that I love. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That verse solidified my faith. But I ask an older man if he believes in it. And this was an Amish man. We were traveling along, and he was on a journey. He was probably 20 years older than I. And I ask him if he believes it. And we're traveling along. And probably 3 minutes later, everything was quiet. 3 minutes later, he said, I do believe that. And that's all it took for me. I said, I don't know why it took him to just reinforce that verse that we can know. And after that, I began to climb out of my depressed shell, so forth, and I began to talk about what Jesus did for me. And slowly but surely, I was free to share what Christ did. Before I was not. Before I was born again, I was in a nutshell and did not appreciate being with people. I didn't like fellowship. And so God pulls us into fellowship, and he wants to change us. And his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. God has a promise for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. even if you do him. But my encouragement today to you both is that you make him Lord of your life, and then you can prosper and flourish in the things that he has for you. So I want to just bless you, Jonathan and Caleb. I'm going to turn the time over to Mel to moderate here. But as you're making this declaration today, may it be heard from us here and also all the other unseen in the spiritual realm, the angels of God. I marvel at, you know, would it be possible that God looks down today and he's pleased? I think it's possible. In fact, this brings him pleasure. This brings him joy. And I just want to rejoice with him. Brother Mel, I'll turn the time over to you for the testimony time. May God bless you.